Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
This is The Science Show on ABC Radio National, coming today from San Francisco, one of the great research hubs of the United States. Hello, I'm Robin Williams. And it's a very good place to hold the AAAS meeting, that's the American Association for the Advancement of Science, the meeting for 2007. Here we have several universities, like the University of California in San Francisco. We've got Berkeley, Stanford University to the south, and also Silicon Valley, one of the great creators of Google, may in fact be at the conference a little later. But the president of the AAAS this year is Professor John Holdren of Harvard. He used to be at Berkeley, and he's one of the world's top energy scientists. And here he sums up our clear and obvious predicament. But now we switch to Antarctica, where there's been some similarly published paper in the journal Science. And with me is Helen Amanda Fricker. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you're based at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography, led by an Australian.
That's right. Dr. Tony Hamer is our director.
And you've been living in Australia for a while?
I lived in Australia for 7 years. I did my PhD in Tasmania, the University of Tasmania.
Excellent. And you've just been at a crowded press conference talking about some of the water that's been discovered in lakes under the ice. Was that really surprising to find this?
Yes, it was, because it's not just the fact that they're under ice, because we've known for a long time there's been lakes under ice. There's 145 lakes documented underneath the ice sheet. But the lakes that we discovered are actually under fast-moving ice streams. So they're actually in the fast-flowing features of Antarctica, which are taking the ice from the deep interior of the continent and ultimately to the ocean.
And when you say fast, how fast?
Ice streams move at different rates, but on the order of 1 to 3 metres per day.
That's really substantial. A day as well.
Yeah.
How did you find this? From the sky?
Okay, well, flow rates have been determined by a variety of ways on the ground with GPS and more recently with feature tracking and imagery and satellite interferometry. But the lakes, we actually detected elevation changes in the surface of the ice, and the surface is changing in response to what's going on at the base, which is the water is being transported from one reservoir to the other, and it's under pressure, so it's causing a deflation in the ice surface.
One would have thought that under the ice it would be frozen anyway. How does it stay liquid?
No, because you've got so much ice that it's at pressure, and the bed is actually quite warm, and it's melting the ice. It's pressure.
There's ground, there's rock down there, isn't there?
There's rock down there, and there's also geothermal heat flux, which is contributing towards, and it's helping to keep the ice melted as liquid water.
Well, the surprise is you've been studying this for 3 years, and you've been tracking water movement on a scale that you didn't expect.
I only made this discovery in the middle of last year. The satellite's been launched for 4 years, but we've only had enough data to start looking at this kind of thing for the last sort of year or so. So the discovery was only made in May of last year.
What it's showing is Antarctica is an amazingly active place.
That's right. It's showing that the processes that are going on underneath the ice are incredibly fast moving and very rapid, with the water flowing much faster than we ever expected.
Well, of course, the implication is that if this water is flowing, as in Greenland, showing that the water is going down in the crevices and lubricating everything and facilitating both melting and the transfer of heat and also the formation of icebergs, what does it mean in terms of that for Antarctica?
Well, we have to be careful, because we're not saying that there's suddenly meltwater because climate's changing, because that's not true at all. This process has been going on for years and years, decades and decades, centuries and centuries. It's just a process that we didn't know about before. We knew that meltwater existed underneath the ice. We knew it was formed, but we didn't know that it existed in this form and on this quantity, and that it moved in such rapid movement from one place to another on the ice stream. The implication is that we expect that the response will be that the ice will flow faster where you have water underneath, and when the lake drains it will then slow down. But we don't have observations of that yet, so we don't know for sure.
And you said a lot of water. You've measured how much? How much is there?
Well, one of our lakes, which we discovered right near the Grounding Line, which drained 2 cubic kilometres of water over 2¾ years. So that's 5 US gallons per day for each person in the US for a year.
A bloody lot. In other words, a couple of Sydney harbours.
A lot. That's right.
I know that you're being terribly cautious, and wisely so, but it could have implications for the melting of the ice sheet, could it not?
The major implication is that we need to be able to predict what's going to go on in Antarctica and what's going to happen to the Antarctic ice sheet under a warming climate. So ice sheet models that we're using need to have the real processes that are actually going on under the ice. They need to have them properly incorporated so that they can actually make faithful predictions of states of the Antarctic ice sheet. Without having those incorporated, they can't make good predictions. And so we don't know what the ice sheet is going to do. And the implications of that are we can't predict sea level rise in the future from the ice sheet.
Helen Amanda Fricker from the Scripps Institution of Oceanography in La Jolla, California. Thank you very much, and come back to Australia soon.
Okay, well, we come every 2 years, so...